Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Coverage of the SEC Spring Meetings at the Sandestin Hilton in Sandestin, Florida is presented by Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. And in part by Bet Saracen. Bet local in Arkansas with the only local sports book, Bet Saracen.
Welcome back to Morning Mayhem. Christian Weaver here. I got Pigskin Preacher with me. I got Nathan Monin. Some people call him Little Pigskin. Todd Pierce is with me. And now we are joined by Trey Schaap down from Sandestin, Florida for the SEC Spring Meetings, wrapping it up. What's up, Trey Schaap?
What's up, Christian? How are you?
I'm well. You?
I'm good. Good.
What was the biggest story this week? I guess it was the expansion of playoffs from 16 to 24, right?
Well, that was the biggest talk. Some of the biggest talk. The SEC didn't decide one way or the other which way they want to go. I know the Big 12 did yesterday at their meetings, but the SEC has not come out with a stance, so to say, of where they want to go. So this year, it seems to me like that it was just a whole lot of nothing down here. They didn't have a general business session yesterday like they normally do, where they vote on potential legislation that requires a majority vote to get enacted. And so I just don't think that a lot came out of it this year, except for the fact that you did get to talk to some of the coaches and get ideas, what they're thinking. You know, you ask them how many games they want to see in the college football playoff. Mike Elko, head coach of Texas A&M, said that's not for me to decide. You know, I'm a football coach. And so I did like his talk, though, about college football, saying that it needs someone to oversee it. And someone said, well, what about you? And he said, no. He said, I'm a football coach. You don't need a football coach to do that. This is a billion-dollar business. You need someone that knows how to run a business to oversee it. And then Kirby Smart, when he was up on Tuesday, said that he's afraid that our sport is going to ruin other sports, meaning college football could ruin other sports. And we saw that at Arkansas with men's and women's tennis getting cut and then reinstated after some boosters went to Hunter Yurachek. And in talking with Hunter Yurachek, I think he told me there might have been several boosters that have come forward, or no, it was several boosters that donate to tennis that also donate to the Razorback Foundation, and that their monetary donations were not enough to keep the program sustained, that their donations were for basically upgraded tickets at football games. And so they've got to find a way to bring more money in, and maybe these football stadium naming rights is the answer. But there's supposed to be an announcement within 30 days, but the football stadium name will not be on there until 2027. So you're missing a whole nother season.
Back to the playoffs for just one second.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Sankey has a preference for what he wants the playoff to stay at, and he wants it to be 16 at least in my eyes. But I don't think that the conference necessarily shares that opinion, because I could imagine that Arkansas, Vanderbilt, there's a lot of schools within the SEC that would like to see it expanded to 24, because that would give them an actual chance of making the college football playoff. So, and also, I would imagine that every other conference wants to see it expanded to 24, because it would see more of their teams get in. So
I think,
it seems like he's fighting a losing battle with this.
I think, Christian, if they would take away the AQs and expand it to 16 or 24, I think then they would get on board with it, because they feel like that they're always going to have an automatic qualifier. They feel like that some of these others are not. And you look at, I mean, Notre Dame is an outlier here. If they win X number of games, they automatically get in And why should they be so special? They're not even in a league. Why are they the special ones that if they just reach a certain threshold, then they get in to the college football playoff? The other thing about the CFP, this past year, if it would have been 16, the SEC would have gotten one more team in. If it would have been 24, they would have gotten one more team in. It's not like they're getting a whole lot more teams in, but they would have a little bit more and would get more of the revenue share from that, so more of the money. So I can see both points. I do know that there is some frustration amongst the coaches who said that you told us if we went to 9 games, we would get more teams in the playoff, but it doesn't look to be the case because, or there would be expansion, but that's not going to be the case because they're still at 12. And so that's why I think some of the coaches that did voice their opinion said that, hey, I'm good with 16, 24 now. When I spoke to Ryan Silverfield about it, I said, hey, if you're fortunate enough down the road to get in to the college football playoff to have a chance to play in an SEC championship game, would you be in favor of that? And what do you think the numbers should be for the college football playoff? And he said he would love to play in the SEC championship game, and he would welcome that because you get so many more eyeballs on your program playing in a game of that magnitude. And he also said that he's not concerned what the playoff goes to. He said, I've got bigger problems to worry about right now. And of course, yeah, he's got to try and find a football team that can win some SEC games this year and not go 0-9 in the SEC.
Did anybody say anything about Sankey taking a shot at his Northern brethren? Yeah, we're the best conference. We play the best football. I'm like, well, Greg, you know, for 3 years in a row, you haven't. So.
Well, he was ready. He had his stats and everything to go with that pigskin. Yeah. But he was asked pointedly about the fact that the SEC had won the last 3 national championships. And I don't think you can make any argument last year about Indiana and what they did. They won every game that they had to play.
Yeah, but they only beat Alabama by 35. Well, that was a lot closer than we anticipated. So,
of course it was. Of course it was.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with the results that if you want to argue the depth of the SEC and maybe the 10th team.
And I think that's what he was arguing.
Our 14th place team was better than your 14th place team. Right. So what?
But if we're talking about the top 4 teams from each league, the Big Ten certainly is probably
I think arguing conferences is fool's gold anyway. I think we should be arguing teams. But having said that, when the SEC would have one team that would win the whole thing, all of a sudden, that granted legitimacy on the rest of the league, hence the SEC chance. Well, I don't think Indiana being great last year means that Michigan was any good. Michigan was lousy. So, I mean, I'm not glomming onto that. But, and again, we've had this conversation 57 times.
it was a relatively quiet week at the SEC spring meetings, but Arkansas's Hunter Yurecek did make some noise this week.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was some noise that he probably shouldn't have made. What was the vibe around the SEC spring meetings about what he said? Did anybody say anything to you?
Yeah, there was – I got a comment from one person that is at a – what used to be a Western Division school in the SEC that's been there forever. And his comment was, why did he do it that way? Why not voice your frustration to some media in Arkansas and then let them put it out there if they so choose to put it out there so that your people understand that, hey, we're frustrated. You don't have to come out with this drafted letter and all the hoopla with the graphics and everything so that you put it out on social media and then you're going to get attacked everywhere with it. He said, people don't want to hear your sob story. You're the one that scheduled the game at Utah to begin with.
That's pretty much the truth.
So,
don't schedule it.
Yeah, if you don't want to go another time zone away, and play a game, and the potential for it to be a late game because that institution, its media partner rights can tell you when you're going to kick that game off. And that's the other thing that Greg Sankey said when I asked him about Hunter's comments. He said he didn't like the squeeze, but he also said that ESPN has the right. That's the media rights. They have the right to dictate when those games start. And so if you're going to take your chunk of the pie when it comes time for ESPN to pay the SEC and dole out all that TV revenue, then you got to play when they say play. The bigger issue, and I give Justin Akre credit for bringing this up yesterday when I was on with him, that first game kicks off at 3:15 in the afternoon.
It'd be 117 degrees out there.
We do this every year.
It's exactly. Don't play in the middle of the afternoon in the first game. Too high.
Exactly. You're right. So what does that do to your student athletes? You're probably going to have more of a recovery from that game if it's 98, 99 real temp. Your heat index is probably going to be in the 110.
You guys getting IVs over there on the sideline.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not going to have that coming from Salt Lake City.
No, sir.
Playing a night game out there. So your recovery from that first game, you got to fly to Salt Lake City on a Friday for that next game. So you lose a little bit of time there as well in recovery from that game where it's so hot.
Well, it's received like they're the only ones doing it.
Right. And they're not.
Rutgers doesn't have to go play UCLA or it's like everybody's doing this now. Everybody has to fly across the country and then back
and they signed up. Rutgers and UCLA, they did it. They signed up for that. They knew what they were getting into when they joined that league.
Arkansas scheduled this game.
I agree.
Utah's a bad team to schedule, and I'm going to tell you why. They're really good. They're really physical. Okay, you got time zone issues, and if you beat them, you're not going to get a lot
of
credit.
Clout for
You lose to them, it's just a bad look. Michigan's lost to them the last two times they played
Harbaugh's
them. I mean,
first game. Right.
Yeah, they beat Harbaugh in his opening game.
Yeah. We fleeced the whole coaching staff, so they're restarting just like Arkansas is. Mm-hmm. But that culture from where they're restarting, that's been a really solid program.
It has been. That's the only thing, Trey, that's given Michigan fans any hope is we pilfered all of Utah's coaches.
O-line, D.
you got a good coaching staff.
Well, we got adults that aren't going to be, texting their girlfriends at halftime, so this ought to be better for in-game strategy.
Right.
So Juracek was saying they wouldn't get back until about 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. So they kick off at what,
9:15
Central time on that Saturday night. The game's probably going to go about 3 hours, 3:30. So they get on the plane around 1:30, 2.
Something like that.
Yeah. So you can get back around 6 o'clock.
And their kids, they'll sleep on the plane. Most of those guys.
The kids, if that was a home game. The game ends around 12.
Midnight.
Right.
So they're losing 3 hours of sleep.
You're losing about 3 hours.
That's the biggest deal in the world.
Three hours, 4 hours at the max.
I don't understand why we're making this a thing. The thing is, he doesn't want to play at 11 a.m.
What they perceive that makes it even more difficult, they're acting like it's this NFL where you have a short week or one day less of rest, and then you got to go play Georgia at 11 a.m. It's like,
You could play Georgia at 7 o'clock. You're still going to get
The funny thing is, Trey, the conferences have different ideas about when the best time slot for a game is. SEC football, man, I was watching, decades ago with Ron Franklin. SEC teams always loved to play at night. That was the primetime game.
Well,
now they're moving it to the 2:30 game. And then the Fox things, they have the 11 o'clock high, big noon. Yep. And they're like, the Ohio State people are always, we're sick of playing at 11 o'clock. The Michigan people like playing early.
Well, I always have.
They like playing early, but here's the thing, too, on that September the 19th. You're not going to get a nighttime time slot because guess who plays that day?
Who?
LSU and Ole Miss.
Oh, that's going to take all the oxygen out of the room.
That's must-see TV.
That's going to be the biggest game in the nation that day, not just the league.
No doubt. And here's the other thing. Your big noon kickoff on the opening weekend of college football, North Texas at Indiana.
Yeah, the first whoop-de-doo. Three big noons
big
are
one.
Awful.
They're
awful.
Big one.
Good scheduling, Kurt.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. I saw a graphic yesterday that gave percentages of night games, and I want to say this might have been the last 15 years, might have been the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Arkansas is the lowest of a nighttime start. You know who has the most?
Alabama.
LSU, over 80% of their home games start at night.
Wow.
Over 80%.
Wow.
I think the next closest that I saw was around 65%. Mm. If you don't think there's some bias there.
Of course there is.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Listen, there are three or four schools that basically get their way all the time. Mm-hmm.
But here's the bigger here's the answer to the whole thing, guys.
Win
your football games, be a good program, and they're going to put you in the evenings.
Ding, 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 we have a winner.
At that point, that's right.
That's it. 2-10 teams do not get the benefit of the doubt.
No,
So these are the first three Fox Big Noon games.
Mm.
North Texas, Indiana. I guess they're doing that because Indiana's the national champions.
Right.
So they won't do that.
Yeah, but it's North Texas.
I understand. Mm. And they don't have Drew Mestemaker, who's at Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma, Michigan. Fine, that's a good one.
Big game.
We're gonna beat their heads in this year.
And then the third big noon game is Kent State and Ohio State.
Ooh, must see TV.
Wow.
So they're one.
Yeah,
and three.
I'm getting up for that one. Big noon.
Oh man.
So we had a quiet SEC spring meetings. What do we expect out of the actual SEC media days?
Well, now that's a different animal down there because you actually get to talk to some players as well. You have all 16 football coaches. It's going to be in Tampa, Florida, which is, you know, almost out of the SEC footprint, if you will. I think you're going to get some more talk about college football expansion. They'll talk to some of the coaches about that. I'm not sure. You won't get as much business type comments from down there. You will get more of, hey, here's the way the season looks, here's what's been going on in the summer, I really like our team, everybody's undefeated when they get there. As Coach Spurrier used to say, talking season, and that's what we're gonna get in the middle of July.
Nice.
I'm sure, last thing before we go, I'm sure you were watching Arkansas softball Oklahoma.
I did.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought that when Ella McDowell, you know, drove in the go-ahead run, I thought, okay, they've really got a chance here. And then you had one out, nobody on, and
two outs away.
The center fielder hits a home run to tie it up, and I thought, oh, man, here we go. But they hung around, they just didn't – they could never get that key hit. Mm-hmm. After that, and then unfortunately they just couldn't get it done in Nebraska one. But hey, maybe they can beat UCLA and they'll get a shot at either Alabama or Nebraska in that third game.
Well, Trey, they took on the best pitcher the last four seasons in college softball and had her on the ropes. They just didn't finish her off.
She had to throw 130 something pitches.
Man, what a game.
Trey, listen.
It was
to your,
a good one.
Interview with Rob Bradley?
Rob Bradley, fantastic. South Carolina head golf coach. Yeah, thanks. He's he was a real good guy, and I was able to get him down at the SEC.
Trey, you had something for everybody. You had Rob Bradley for my son, and last week you had Steve Melnick for his old man. That was awesome. I love the Melnick interview.
Back to back Steve Melnick weeks was one of the highlights. And I met a guy down here. I don't want to say who, but hopefully we'll be getting him on the From the Short Grass pretty soon. So
keep up the good work, my man. You're doing a great job down there.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.